What's up? What's up? What's up? So in today, I'm going to expose five popular business growth strategies. You know, I'm big on nuances. This is going to help you if you're a creative service-based business. I help a lot of video production companies. That was my background. And I help them with the mental side of things. And so this is going to be a perspective shift on these different ways that people are teaching in the marketplace that there's nothing wrong with these methods or these ways, but there's nuance. And a lot of people ignore nuance. If you ignore nuance and you're very rigid and black and white and this or that or either or in your thinking and that's working for you, then two thumbs up. But if it's not, then I want to give you a different perspective to help you not ruin your business. And it's ads like this where I have nothing against the guy, but it's this black and white. There's a lot of conviction out there in people about do this or don't do that. And so this one says, learn how to stop working with cheap one-off projects as a videographer and land more consistent clients. So it's ads like this that I understand. I think this person's a great person from what I can tell. So it's nothing about the person, but I see people blowing up their businesses that work really well because somebody with more certainty and conviction comes along and tells you that what you're doing is wrong. When what you're doing could be working great and could work indefinitely. Right? Because there's facts and there's fiction. Fact means it works for just about everybody on planet Earth the same, right? The sunset, the sunrise, gravity, these are things that they're the same for everyone versus just for someone. Because some things are true and a fact for someone, but not everyone. And so we're going to dive in here to these quote unquote myths, these popular strategies. And I'm going to give you two different perspectives on each of these growth strategies. And you're going to get to see how somebody can be very convincing in one direction, but if you flip it, it can be equally convincing in the other direction. And a lot of times people only give you one side of the equation, and I want to give you both sides. So let's get into it. All right. So why relying on referrals is bad. The hidden risks of relying solely on referrals. Referrals may seem like a comfortable and cost-effective way to grow your business, but they come with hidden risks. Relying solely on word of mouth can lead to inconsistent revenue streams, limited market reach, and overdependence on a small client base. It's like putting all your eggs in one basket. If the referrals dry up, your business could be in jeopardy. Diversifying your marketing strategies ensures more stable and sustainable growth for your business. Okay, great. That sounds fantastic, right? Okay, number two, why relying on referrals is great. So the last one was why relying on referrals is bad. This one is why relying on referrals is great. The power of referrals, building trust and loyalty. Referrals are the lifeblood of any thriving business. One second here, pull this up. They are a testament to your excellent service, fostering trust and loyalty amongst clients. When clients come through referrals, they are more likely to be satisfied and stick around, creating a strong, loyal customer base. Plus, referrals are cost-effective, allowing you to focus resources on delivering top-notch service rather than expensive marketing campaigns. Embrace the power of word of mouth and watch your business flourish. So I'm going to focus on these two first. I'm probably going to actually separate these into different videos, but we're just going to do these five all in one video. But essentially, there's what you have. You have people selling people right now on courses and programs as to why referrals is bad. And what I see is people burning their business to the ground that's working great. They've got great business. Nothing's slowing down. Nothing seems to be wrong with it. The referrals are really working well. And if they better utilize that, meaning asking for referrals and more being intentional about having referrals happen, or as I like to tell people, paint a picture of how you can help them again so they'll do more business, or that how you give them language about how they can listen when other people need your services and make it easier to refer. The more complex you are and what you talk about or what you do and how you do it, then the more difficult it is to be referable. But ultimately, it's not fact or fiction. It's not, if I only rely on referrals, my business is going to burn to the ground and going to suck. And, you know, if I don't figure out how to do all these other things, then it won't work, right? Like, it's great. Like, you see positives in both. But what people will do is paint a picture for one being bad and the other being great, right? And I like, again, to look at things. And before we start, because there's a lot of people that I've been coaching that are destroying their businesses because somebody more confident than them is telling them indirectly, typically, not directly, it's through content like this, that the way they're doing something is wrong. And I'm just here to tell you that if it's still working, it doesn't mean to stop working that and don't do it anymore. It just means, yeah, maybe you explore some other methods. But I do believe that you can run a business indefinitely off of referrals and succeed. But there is a way of going about that that I think for a lot of people, they might not want to do. And quite frankly, you potentially shouldn't be in the service industry if you don't want to connect with people, have conversations, network online or offline. And so if you don't want to talk to people, you just want to have a digital product business, well then, you know, you might want to get out of the service-based business, but you can still have referrals with a non-service-based business and online business, right? Doing great things and being able to create referral programs and things that aren't the one thing. So that's just one thing out there that I find that's out there a lot. Why relying on referrals is horrible when there's other ways you can perceive it. So the next one, why one-off projects are bad. The pitfalls of one-off projects. One-off projects might seem, one second. Hold on. Where'd it go? Okay. Why one-off projects are bad. The pitfalls of one-off projects. So one-off projects might seem lucrative at first glance, but they come with their own set of challenges. They often lead to unpredictable workloads, making it difficult to plan resources and manage cash flow. Additionally, constantly chasing new projects can be exhausting and detract from business long-term client relationships. Without recurring business, sustainable growth becomes a constant struggle. Okay, great. Nothing wrong with that, right? Makes sense. Now, why one-off projects are great? The freedom of one-off projects. One-off projects offer unparalleled freedom and flexibility. They allow you to explore diverse industries and work with a variety of clients, keeping your work fresh and exciting. These projects can also be a great way to fill gaps between larger recurring projects, ensuring a steady stream of income. Embrace the diversity and opportunities that one-off projects can bring to the table. So both of these can give reasons to why one-off projects can be great and one-off projects can be bad. So what is right and what is wrong? Well, if I go outside in shorts and a t-shirt in sub-Arctic weather, it's not great, not a great decision, right? But does that mean shorts and a t-shirt are bad and wrong? No, they're just wrong in this situation. And so what I see is there's people maybe in the wedding industry and they really love weddings and they like shooting weddings. And then somebody comes along who hates weddings on the internet and starts pounding people with all the reasons why weddings sucks. They're one-off projects. They're not scalable. They're not leverageable. You know, they're not recurring. You got to find, you know, all these new people. It's like, yeah, but with weddings, like you might only maybe work with a couple once, but the reality is, as with other things I said in this other in this series here, you get referrals to get more business. There's always people getting married. And so, yes, there's some effort to selling a new project. But when you really get a business going, and I've filmed over 300 weddings in my career, and I reached a point where really just showing up and continuing to do the work was creating more work and more opportunities. People liked me. I did great work. I did something called the same day edit, which was great for marketing. But the reality is there was nothing wrong. You know, I shot my last wedding in 2014. The reality is, if I hadn't stopped, I really believe that I would have been able to continue to do 30, 40, 45 weddings a year if I wanted, or whatever amount I wanted. It's somewhere between $3,500 and maybe $5,000 for all of eternity if I wanted to. And that would have been recurring revenue. In fact, now granted, I have not gone down certain paths, but some of my most stability was when I did weddings, and I know that I'm going into this year, I'm going to make $80,000. Right? Whereas something to keep in mind as well, which we'll tie in here in a second with recurring revenue, is that with the recurring revenue, people assume that people stay forever and you never need to sign a new client. A lot of these things make you believe, oh, if you just got five clients at $5,000 a month, you'd be at $25,000 a month, right? Assuming that it won't be that challenging to get five clients and that those five clients are going to pay you indefinitely. Because what people want is freedom and flexibility. So at times when we sell certain methods in certain ways, we shine all the spotlight on it. We show all the great things about it. And as a byproduct, we forget the nuance. Again, there's nuance in all these things. It's not black and white. You've got the way I help a lot of my clients is to develop more flexible thinking, because the more rigid we are, even in creating this content, I've created content many times and I've given up. I don't know what you've ever started, whether it's marketing, working out, starting a business, and you stopped and started. For me, what I've found is the more rigid I am in my thinking versus flexible, the more rules I have, the more it's this or that or either or, then the more I struggle. Because as humans, we're not robotic. We're not like black and white, this or that, either or. We can do a lot of different things. And I always say it's not one size fits all, but what size fits you. So we've got to see what works for you. And before you blow your business to the ground because somebody said that doing weddings is a bad thing because they're not scalable, leverageable, and they're one-off projects, maybe come from the place of, do you really love weddings? Because if you do, then worrying about the one-off projects, the recurring revenue of it, and the referrals, like all these things that I'm going through with this series, is that you might just be just fine. But the problem is a lot of us lack self-esteem and self-worth. And that's what I found. When I listen to the gurus or other people that say, this is wrong and this is right, what I find is that I have doubts in what I'm doing. I don't believe as much in what I'm doing. And this person seems to be certain. And we're all on some level searching for certainty. And so as a byproduct, when we see somebody online that's very certain, we'll listen to that person versus trusting ourselves. And so what I'm trying to do with the content that I put out and the coaching that I do with people is I want to help people develop, again, the flexible thinking, see the nuances, see the different ways of viewing things, and recognize whether or not what you're hearing from somebody else really needs to be applied to you or whether or not you need to potentially ignore it. So let's go on to the next one. So we're going to go on to the recurring revenue. Okay, so recurring revenue. Why recurring revenue projects are great. The stability of recurring revenue. Recurring revenue projects are the cornerstone of a stable and predictable business model. They provide a consistent income stream, making it easier to plan for the future and invest in growth. This reliability fosters stronger long-term client relationships and reduces the stress of constantly seeking new business. Embrace recurring revenue. Enjoy the peace of mind it brings, right? Again, I want you to hear, I am not knocking. Do one-off projects, don't do recurring revenue. Do recurring revenue, don't do, you know, like I'm not doing that. I'm simply wanting to showcase this contrast between the way that people out there can be painting a picture for something in a very positive light and not showcasing any of the negative. And not everyone, you know, the main thing I'm selling personalized private coaching. That's it. So I put out as much as I possibly can that shares different thoughts and different perspective shifts, different ways to view things. And then when you need personal private help, I'm here to help. But I don't have a course and I don't have an agenda to need to get you to do things in a particular way. And what I find with a lot of these programs is somebody's doing something. It either isn't working at all, it's kind of working, or it's working really well. And then somebody comes along who has, again, more conviction and more certainty in what it is that they're doing and convinces somebody to do this particular thing a particular way. And assuming that that model will work for everyone and they don't know all the details and they get in and they realize this isn't for me, but they've just spent $5,000 or $10,000 on a program that really only teaches potentially one method. So let's get into why recurring revenue projects are bad. The limitations of recurring revenue. So while recurring revenue projects offer stability, they can also lead to complacency and limit growth potential. Relying too heavily on a few steady projects or a few steady clients can make your business vulnerable to changes in their needs or financial situations. Additionally, it may restrict your ability to take on new, exciting projects that could lead to greater success. Strike a balance to ensure your business remains dynamic and adaptable, right? And so this aspect that, for me, what I've found, and I just said here a second ago, is that It's not either or. Sometimes it's a both, right? If you're doing one-off things like weddings, to me, it is recurring. And it's very easy to have a new person, a new person, a new person, a new person. Now, some industries and some things, you know, there's always new work, but it's different. Some people find it more challenging to market non-wedding services from time to time. So when you get into the wedding industry and you do well, there's always going to be more people wanting to hire you. If you do a good job, you're likable, all these things. Whereas in other things, if you don't paint the picture right, people work with you once, they do a one-off thing. This is what people are saying. They work with somebody for $1,000 and then you got to find a new client. You got to find new food, right? And what they'd rather have is to know this person signs up for $12,000 at $1,000 a month. Right? That gives people certainty. It gives them peace of mind, right? And so the thing is sometimes you can be doing what looks like one-off projects. Like I used to film a lot of events, still do from time to time. But here's the thing. They weren't necessarily recurring clients in the sense that, you know, they're going to pay me monthly year after year after year. And I'm going to, you know, show up to shoot once a quarter and produce, you know, this ongoing content. But what was happening is they had an event every year. So they were a recurring client in the sense that every year they came back. They just weren't on like a retainer where automatically 100% without a shadow of a doubt, I know that on this date and on this time, I'm getting paid. That's what a lot of people who are employed love. And what they hate about entrepreneurship is in entrepreneurship, at times, we're looking for that certainty. So what recurring revenue can do is it creates certainty. If you've got five clients paying you $5,000 a month and you know they're on some kind of contract for 12 months, you're like, wow, well, for the next 12 months, I know I have $5,000 a month coming in. It gives people that peace of mind like an employee does. Now, that can happen, but what, again, people don't talk about is what happens if a client drops. And you say, well, I got a contract. Well, yeah, but depending on the amount of money and the amount of energy and effort you want to put into something, fighting things may or may not be the best use of your time, right? And so, and I find that in my life, one of the greatest advantages for me having recurring people who have continually come back to work with me, one is if they have recurring projects, but two is painting the picture, right? Of what more you can do and potentially positioning things in a way. I've created payment structures where I knew people were going to do three events that year and I give them a little cut if they book me for all three events. But rather than like, hey, it's going to be $30,000, pay me $15,000 today and $15,000 when we're done, I might say, you know, pay me whatever the math comes out to, $1,250 or what is that? 2,000 times 12 is 24, $2,200 something dollars a month and do that. And so we can spread this out. Well, and I'll give them a discount. So if you were just going to hire me, it was going to be $30,000 for all three projects, $10,000 a piece. Maybe I do $8,000 a piece if you go on a payment plan. Now I know, okay, they are going to use me for these three events and they're going to pay me monthly throughout the year versus I think they're going to use me for these three events and they're going to pay me once 50-50, then they're going to pay me again 50-50, and then they're going to pay me again 50-50. So you might get more money, but you lack the certainty and the security of potentially going, oh, I right now it feels like I know that they're going to hire me for these three and I'm going to have payments coming in every month. So there's different ways. And if you want me, leave a comment, you know, if you want clarification on these, expansion on these, you know, without feedback, without a live audience right now doing things, there's even nuance that I'm going to miss. There's going to be yeah buts from you. So definitely leave a comment wherever you're at and let me know, where do you want clarification? You know, where are there things that you're like, yeah, but, or you have other questions? And then don't hesitate to reach out as well. You can go to themindmechanic.net, send me a message, contact form there on any platform that there's a DM. You can pretty much get a hold of me. And I'm happy to dig in on how I work if you want to dive deeper into this or you need help unraveling your mind from the things that you followed that maybe destroyed your business and when it was supposed to supposedly help your business because you missed the nuance or you got really rigid in your thinking. So I've got one more here. So we're going to do the next one is we've got two more to do. So this one is why custom projects are great. And then we're going to do why custom projects are bad, right? So why custom projects are great. The unique advantage of custom projects stand out for their ability to deliver tailor-made solutions that precisely meet the custom of the client's needs. They offer a level of personalization and flexibility that productized services can't match, allowing for creative and innovative outcomes. The bespoke approach can lead to higher client satisfaction and loyalty, as well as potential for premium pricing. Embrace the uniqueness of custom projects and the competitive edge they provide. Why custom projects are bad? The hidden costs of custom projects. So while custom projects offer tailored solutions, they come with hidden costs, right? The lack of standardization can lead to inefficiencies, scope creep, and unpredictable timelines, making it challenging to scale and manage resources effectively. Custom projects often require more time and effort, which can strain your team and impact profitability. Consider the long-term implications before diving into the world of custom projects, right? So this gives you two reasons why custom projects are great and why custom projects are bad. And the next one will be why productized services are great and why productized services are bad. And so we've just got to think of these things because you can always find both angles. And so it's not that something is all good and something else is all bad. You know, that's what I'm saying here. These ads popping up, which I don't have anything against the people, but I know where they're coming from. But it's like, learn how to stop working with cheap one-off projects as a videographer and land more consistent clients. It's these kinds of things that are leaving out the nuance. And again, I know what they're trying to achieve, but by and large, they're pushing certain agendas and they're shining a spotlight on the good about really at times what they're trying to sell versus the potential bads of that. And so I have no agenda. And whether you do custom projects, one-off projects, recurring revenue, non-recurring revenue, productized services, non-productized services, all I want you to do is not burn your business to the ground because a guru or somebody online you listen to, even me, take what I have with a grain of salt. But again, I don't have an agenda of selling you a particular way of thinking or doing. I am simply here to provide perspective and nuance to the different things that are out there. And this is a really fun series here, probably breaking these up to different videos as well, to really start shining a light on these differences and things that exist. So we stop. I know I've fallen trap to hearing these things, and the people provide so much conviction that I forget that there's potentially another perspective. And again, there's we wouldn't appreciate the sun if there was no darkness. So there's always a shadow side to the light side of everything. And so we've got to look at that before we make decisions or before we poo-poo on a particular way of doing something, right? You know, there is typically, not always, a greater chance for a person to charge more if there's a level of customization to something than if everything is like lock, stock, and barrel, no customization. It's very cookie cutter. So at times, it can be the blend of two worlds. Right? How do we blend custom and blend productization? Where are the repeatable steps in what you're doing that can kind of be productized, right? So I looked at my career, and when I hear this, like, productize yourself, you know, as if there's no human element to it, I think that's also what's making the originality go away because everybody's just buying people's templates and then they're just like carbon copies of everybody else. But here's what happened. Is I became a guy in the wedding industry where I did something called the same day edit. And when I've now reshifted my mind around what I did there, there was a version of productized service. Meaning when you came to me, I had reached a point where my company was called Geb's Total Video. So literally I did everything for everybody. And the truth of the matter is that in doing everything for everybody, you know, I was kind of this, I was really good at certain things and not so good at other things, but I would attempt to say yes because I felt that I could do it. And it's like the fish believing that it can fly. It doesn't mean it might not be able to do a little bit and be out of the water for a little bit, but probably not going to do that well. So there were things I became naturally inclined to do better at than other things. And then when I leaned into that and said, I love this and my clients love this, I'm just going to do this. I got away from the uber customization of like, you just tell me, it's the concept I talk about, order taker, master chef. So order takers aren't very custom. I could argue they are custom because it's just like, you tell me what you want and then they'll do whatever you want, right? And they don't have any opinions or anything. They just simply take orders. They're going to get paid the least and value the least because you're not really using your brain to provide input. And if I can go to anybody and just tell them what I want done, I mean, some people might do better than others, but at the end of the day, it's not as valuable as somebody who's an expert coming in and going, I like that, right? And you kind of play with what they have. And so for me, it was like I did certain things a certain way, but every wedding was unique. So there was still a custom element because the uniqueness of that project versus we do everything the same and we just slap your name on it. And so there's ways to blend custom, productization, you know, being specific, finding the repeatable patterns and not doing those every time. You know, where if you're sending a certain document every time, how can you automate that part of the process, right? There's certain things that maybe it's kind of templatized and there's a little bit you customize, right? And so there are ways to play with this. But again, it's not all or nothing. It's not custom projects entirely are bad and productized services are the only way to go. So let's dig into the final thing here. Why productized services are great. Right? Productized services are bad. So the efficiency of productized services. Productized services offer a streamlined, efficient approach to delivering solutions. By standardizing your offerings, you can scale your business more effectively, reduce operational complexity, and provide clear expectations to clients. This model allows for consistent pricing and easier sales processes, leading to increased profitability and smoother workflows. Embrace the simplicity and scalability of productized services for long-term success. What I find, though, is that there are a lot of, one, if you're neurodivergent, doing the same bloody thing over and over again, like a broken record, is very difficult. So I deal a lot with people with ADHD. And I know for me, if I'm just like robotic about my process and how I'm doing things, it even if another way is a better way, it won't work for me very well. And I will really struggle to do that. And what I find is not everybody wants to scale in the ways that the productized services you're probably doing, depending on what it is. But I think a lot of creatives get sucked into the allure of the scalability, the simplicity, the recurring revenue. Because usually it's like, don't do one-off projects, do recurring revenue, and productize your service. Like, these are the things that go really well together with a lot of personality types and people who are really good at systems and structure and frameworks and formulas and step-by-steps. Like, when their brain works that way, productized services, recurring revenue, non-one-off projects, like those things, they all integrate really well. And for them, the creativity isn't from taking something from scratch and playing with all these ingredients and making something, right? I find great joy in putting spreadsheets together and documents and all these things. Like, I always say, one person's blessing is another's curse. I have a client who talks about doing, you know, hype videos. And the hype videos are basically, you know, music video, a sizzle video, a highlight reel, highlight video, where it essentially is just clips and music. There's you can get away without very much pre-production on these types of projects, because if you're really good at it, you can show up. Typically, they're like live events. You can show up, shoot, edit, and show, right? Super simple. And so as a byproduct, brain fart. See, I'm human. Oh, man. Nobody's here to bring me back on pace. God dang, God dang. What was I just saying? It doesn't happen often. This is the... you can just shoot, edit, show. Bloody hell. God dang, God dang. Oh, crap. What was I going to say? Well, anybody can leave a comment. You can go, here's what you were going to say. Please continue on if you've made it this far in the video. Yeah, you can shoot, edit, show that night. I'm talking about productized services. Man, I have just... Anyways, I'll just go back to it. That whole point is to be missed, unfortunately, for right this second. I knew what I was going to say. God forbid. So that kind of video, geez Louise, that kind of video essentially doesn't require much pre-production or post-production. If you're good at what you do, you can just show up. So my client, though, he hates those videos. They're a curse for him. So his hell is my heaven. I love those kind of videos. Just like this. Like, I've done a little bit of a planning for this, but to the degree that, like, I'm going to script out every word and do that, it's not going to happen. I'll never consistently create content scripting these videos so that I can say what I need to say in 5 minutes. So to the people that are going to be impacted by me, it'll only be to the degree I might do a little bit of planning. I have a little bit of structure here. I've been reading these things off and then kind of ad-libbing. And that flow overall works really well for me. So that's my heaven. I can be consistent showing up that way. That's what I love to do in video production, is when I just got to show up and shoot and edit and show, it was fantastic. So I didn't like all the pre-production, all the post-production, but there's other people where they like all of that. And I find that people who like productized services like the preparation and planning phase more than at times the quote unquote execution or the creativity. I like to be more spontaneous and come into things, with, like, let the cards lay where they may. I used to attempt in my wedding business to be very, very strict about how I was, like, productized. I tried to go in and I would ask the couple, when is this happening, the timeline, and essentially get all these specifics. And I'd show up, and the dad's supposed to be there at 9 a.m. And I get there at 8:30. He already showed up, and they're crying, wiping their tears off, and I missed the whole thing. Right? Nobody told me. And it would throw me off because I would have a song pre-picked. I would have a timeline of the day, and I thought these shots are going to go here, and this is going to go here, and I got to get putting on the shoes and the ring and button up a jacket. And it became, to me, very not creative, very cookie cutter. And I wasn't enjoying myself. Plus, I was being constantly disappointed because it was happening to film live events, which in that atmosphere, it's very difficult to, you know, systemize exactly what you're going to do. If you're planning a shoot, if you're doing something that can have a lot of planning and preparation, and then you're going to go in and like, hey, we're going to do this part of the day. We're going to record these videos, and they're scripted and they're very structured. That's great. That works. But in the live action world, that's harder to do. So again, somebody in, say, the wedding industry or the live event industry may have a more challenging time fully productizing and systemizing all their services. Within it, there can be systems and automations and things that can be in place to help you. But like the actual product itself, the wedding specifically in that industry, is something that you're not going to be able to just carbon copy, spit out. And that's why scalability is likely going to only come from hiring a lot of videographers. But for a lot of people, that's not really what they want. They like doing the projects. They like filming the weddings. They like filming the projects. And so, you know, removing themselves from that and becoming that CEO, for some, that's the next natural step. And for others, that's going to suck, basically. And they're not going to like that. And I find, again, that there's people who love being the creative, who love, you know, doing the work and having it be custom and doing all those things. But then somebody comes along who hates all those things and will paint the picture why all that is bad. And to the degree you believe in yourself and trust in yourself and the way you're doing things will be to the degree that you listen to this other person. There's people who are very strong in their ways and very, you know, I want to call level-headed. I don't know why that's came to mind, but they're like, I got this and I love it. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. They ignore it. They ignore the naysayers. They ignore other people. They do their thing and they move along, and that's that, right? But then there's a lot of people who lack confidence and lack conviction and lack certainty and lack self-esteem. And so it's a byproduct when they're doing something that could be working well and they're really enjoying, but somebody on the internet, on a podcast, on a video like this comes along and says all these reasons why. They're describing your situation. And there might be little pains in that situation, but they're describing your situation, and then they're painting a picture about how what you're doing is wrong and what you're doing is bad. When in fact, if you didn't realize that you got shorts and t-shirts on and, you know, a place that's hot, it's good to wear shorts and t-shirts, not a parka and like mittens and gloves and, you know, five pairs of socks, right? But you that nuance is left out. That part is left out. And so you just hear you're this and that and da-da-da, and you're like, yeah, okay, that might make sense. And then you start putting on this thing, you go outside and you're like sweating profusely. Like, I didn't work and it doesn't make sense. And so what I do and want to do for you in this video and then potentially future ones, because I think this was fun. We'll see how it's received. But to start showing this contrast, the light side, the dark side of different concepts and different things that are out there, and allowing people to hear both sides so that you can start being more aware that when you're watching videos, when you're listening to marketing messages, when you're thinking about courses or programs or whatever, you're essentially viewing it through the lens that there could be another side of this equation. So before I, again, burn my business to the ground or destroy everything and go after this thing just because someone else says I should do it, not because I should, maybe there's little nuances you should implement, but you shouldn't tear your whole business down and recreate a different one, because you might find you put that ladder against the wrong, you know, wall. And this worked for someone, but not for everyone. And that someone might not be you. It might, but it might not be. And sometimes when you go a whole path expecting a certain outcome and then you don't get it, it's really discouraging and it's really disappointing, especially if that process is not as natural and fun and enjoyable for you. And I've seen over and over again people struggle when they're following systems and procedures that work for someone but not everyone. Again, fact versus fiction. We've got to separate the two. What is fact? What is fiction? What is true for everyone? What is true for someone? Very few things in business are factual in the sense that they apply to everyone. And I've had to learn that the hard way at times, because I've had very successful, smart people give me advice that wasn't bad advice. It just wasn't the best advice for me in my situation. And if it would have been more custom tailored versus looked at in a very rigid black and white way, in a more flexible way and having nuance to it, it could have been amazing. And so I've had too much stuff in my life that I got too rigid about, had too many rules, had too many this or that, either or, black and white, that it caused a lot of issues financially in my business and a lot of struggle that I probably could have avoided if I would have made nuanced adjustments and blended some things together versus this is wrong and this is right. So I hope you found this valuable today. If you have any questions, comments, or anything else, don't hesitate to reach out. You can go to themindmechanic.net and reach out to me if you want to consider working with me. This is how I work with people, but it's personalized and private to you. There's no scheduled calls. I don't do that. I have a very special way of working. So you can go there, check it out. You can get more details about how it all works. And I usually do, as of right now, a little test drive with people to help them get a taste of if personalized private advice and working with me would work for you before you have to commit to anything. And I don't have any $5,000 or $10,000+ programs. It's all private and personalized to you. That's all I care about right now. The rest is content that you can consume like this. Otherwise, yeah, so you can go there. You can go on any of the platforms and send me a message as well if you find this useful. Got a lot of other content you can check out. So keep rocking, keep rolling, and let me know if any of these you fell prey to. So rock and roll, my friend. Take care. Bye.